How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Here on what is the biggest day of the year for pro wrestling, WrestleMania Sunday. WWE running from Orlando. Everybody has been there over the weekend. We have had something like 104 different shows from different promotions in the Orlando area over the last 4 days. Absolutely crazy. And the big one is this afternoon, obviously, WrestleMania. 13 matches scheduled so far on the show. We got 3 matches. Actually, I'm going to have to look at the card right here. We have 2 matches for the pre-show. We're going to get the very latest updates as we go on the air here in just a moment. But we're going to run down the entire card for the WrestleMania show. We'll talk about all of the matches. We'll talk about last night's NXT and ROH show. We'll talk all of the news from Orlando. We'll give you some ideas about where things may be going tonight. Keep in mind, it is WrestleMania. Yes, the odds are out. Yes, the smart money is in. Yes, last month, the smart money, in a lot of cases, was wrong. We'll find out what happens here tonight with all of the big matches. Some of them seem to be absolutes. It seems absolute that Bill Goldberg is losing the title to Brock Lesnar. But anything can happen. In some of these matches, it really doesn't matter who wins, who loses. John Cena and Nikki Bella, I expect to win, but you know what? If they're going to do a wedding proposal at the end of the match, then Miz and Maurice can go over, especially since John Cena and Nikki Bella both will be leaving WWE for a period of time after WrestleMania. We're going to talk about all of this and so much more when we come back from the break. No phone calls today. It's all WrestleMania preview talk here on the show. Back in a moment with Mike Sempervivi and more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Follow us on Twitter throughout the show today. I am at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. I'll be live tweeting throughout all of WrestleMania. And yes, this show was taped earlier in the day. And by the time some of you hear this, the pre-show is not only taking place, for some of you, it's over. So we're going to preview everything. Some of this may be funny in hindsight, but as of about 3 Eastern here today, this is the WrestleMania card. This is our thoughts on the show, including the pre-show matches. As of this afternoon, the pre-show matches were scheduled to be Neville versus Austin Aries and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now, originally, the Women's Six-Pack Challenge for the SmackDown title was scheduled for the pre-show, but it got moved. It got put on the main card, which leaves 11 matches on the main show. And for those of you just starting WrestleMania, it is a 2-hour pre-show. It is a 4-hour main show. All of the pay-per-view providers have been alerted that the show is probably going to go long. So we're looking at probably a 6.5-hour show. And that's not counting anything they may do in the post-show. So we're going to skip the previews. What the heck. Let's put our necks on the line here. Even though it's pre-taped and the matches will probably be over by the time everybody listens to this, what are your predictions, Mike, for Neville versus Austin Aries and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
I think this one's pretty easy. I think you go ahead and you switch up. As good as Neville has been, as solid as Neville has been, I think Austin Aries fits far more perfectly into what WWE, or at least what Vince McMahon sees as a champion, as a cruiserweight champion to represent their brand. And I think he's been hot right now anyway, and I think it's with him coming in and really seemingly getting a little bit of a foothold more than maybe some other people have, maybe more than just anybody but Neville. I think it's time for Austin Aries to go ahead and win the belt and see what you can do from there. And when it comes to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, it's really hard to not think that it's going to be Braun Strowman. I'm sure we could have a surprise in there. We could have Strowman get eliminated and have somebody win it that we didn't expect. But it just seems to be that you would end the pre-show, you know, the one guy that's going to be on that pre-show more than any others that they have big, big plans for, it's Braun Strowman. And I don't really see a reason that anybody else would win this thing.
Well, we got to do some things on WrestleMania, to me, that build up things down the road. And so I will predict that Neville is going to beat Austin Aries. This will be the beginning of their feud. And like a traditional feud, the heel wins at the beginning and the babyface has to get his win later on down the line. Now, I know I'm sticking my neck out here because traditional WWE booking, and I don't even know why, they do like three-match series and the babyface wins the first one. And I never figured out why, because once the babyface gets the revenge, why should I care afterwards? So I'm going to go with the idea that the heel is going to win this one, and maybe Austin Aries, they'll have a rematch at whatever the next pay-per-view is, and go from there. Andre the Giant, Memorial Battle Royal. Here are the participants. Rarely do you see a Battle Royal with so many geeks. I mean that in the nicest way possible. These are all of the individuals, basically, that don't have a role at WrestleMania, with the exception of Samoa Joe and Luke Harper, who I guess will just be interfering at some point on the show. We got Mojo Rawley, Apollo Crews. This is the SmackDown side. Mojo Rawley, Apollo Crews, Kurt Hawkins, Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Dolph Ziggler, Rhino, Heath Slater, Jason Jordan, and Chad Gable, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. They're all in the Battle Royal. There was no room for a SmackDown tag team title match at WrestleMania, so they're all here in the Battle Royal. The Raw side has The Big Show, Braun Strowman, Goldust, R-Truth, Primo Epico, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, Jinder Mahal, Sami Zayn, and Mark Henry. And from the NXT side, we have Tian Bing, who is in there because the show is streaming in China. And we also have Killian Dane of Sanity. And the rumor was that there would be maybe another individual, or maybe a couple, from the NXT brand. There are going to be call-ups after WrestleMania, and I'm sure more in the draft as well. But that is the current lineup. I think that the Abominable Strowman is probably going to win this. But Big Show was scheduled to face Shaq, and it fell through. The Big Show got in very, very good shape. The Big Show is probably retiring at this show or shortly thereafter. It doesn't matter. If they wanted to, they could give the Big Show a win in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on the way out. I don't think that's going to happen, but these are the things where, when I was talking about the odds earlier, like, the odds have traditionally been very, very accurate, but they weren't at the last pay-per-view. They threw in a lot of surprises, and a lot of these matches where it really doesn't matter who wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, they could do a surprise here, but I'm not expecting it. Braun Strowman is my pick. For the rest of the show, the main event, at least as of this weekend, was scheduled to be The Undertaker and Roman Reigns. I think that Jim Ross is going to call this match. Jim Ross is going to be at the show. He is going to be working in some capacity. There have been a lot of different reports online about what match exactly he's going to call. I think it's going to be Undertaker-Roman Reigns. I think that what may have happened is word got out that he was calling the main event, and everybody figured that Brock Lesnar and Goldberg was the main event, and so they reported that he was going to call that match. I don't know if he's going to call that match. I don't know what he's going to call, but I'm pretty sure he's calling The Undertaker-Roman Reigns for two reasons. Number one, that match is going on last, at least as of yesterday. It's probably going to be The Undertaker's last match, although we've heard that for 20 years, and in fact, The Undertaker was believed to have been retired after the Lesnar match, which is why he lost, after the Shane McMahon match, when he flat out said, "I'm done," and now this match. So that would be three times. He may have a Terry Funk career where he wrestles every year and says it's his last year. But the main event of next year's WrestleMania, as of today, is scheduled to be Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. And so you can see that this year's WrestleMania is all about elevating Brock Lesnar. He's probably going to beat Goldberg. And Roman Reigns, who's probably going to beat The Undertaker. They know that Roman is going to be booed. They know that he's going to get I don't even know how to explain the reaction if he beats The Undertaker at WrestleMania. But hey, that's, to them, it's more important to build up next year's big match than to end, I guess, with all of the fans cheering a babyface. So We'll see what happens tonight. Those are my predictions for those two matches.
Yeah, I don't know how cataclysmic, is that the right? I don't know what the right word would be if when Roman Reigns defeats The Undertaker. I just believe that Roman Reigns is going to defeat The Undertaker. I have talked myself into that at this point. Especially when the word came out about the possibility of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar next year at WrestleMania. This is probably, you know, when legends lose in a squared circle for the last time, usually it's not pretty. We see this in boxing all the time. The Undertaker, sure, in professional wrestling, you can tell your own story and you can create your own story. But they have created this story around Roman Reigns, and the people just don't like reading that book. They just don't like it. And even if they do like it, they love to let you know about it. So there is no way. I don't think whoever wins this match, but especially if it's Roman Reigns, that you cannot come out of this with the intention of turning this guy full bore here, heel, after 2 years, whatever it's been now with Roman Reigns that they have tried. Going into next year, it's not like people are going to cheer him against Brock Lesnar either. I think you just go all out. Use this as your main lightning rod. If you can't get Roman Reigns over as a heel, then maybe it's time for somebody there to retire. This is your shot. You might as well take advantage of it. Finn Balor's coming back on the face side. Seth Rollins is firmly entrenched on the face side. It wouldn't take you much, in case you needed to switch Kevin Owens over to the face side, although I don't think they need to. Roman Reigns as the main heel on Raw is probably the way you need to go right now. And I don't think it's just time. They have tried every other possible way with him as a babyface to try to get him over as Mr. Good Guy. I don't see any dip in his sales as long as he continues to be a star, as long as he continues to be placed in a position where he is a main eventer, a upper mid-carder. I don't think his merchandise is going to drop that much. I don't think we have that much to worry about as far as Roman Reigns being a marketable character.
All right, well, stand by. We'll, pick it up when we come back. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Live and free. You can check out more at WrestlingObserver.com, including our members-only podcasts. We got two of them coming up tonight. We got a Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer talking all of the news from WrestleMania after the show goes off the air, as well as a Brian and Vinny show. So get ready for that. Want to mention that a lot of times I look at how things would go if I was in charge, and I also try and look at the way things go if Vince McMahon is in charge. A good example, as we'll get to in a second, is the AJ Styles-Shane McMahon match. I would not have booked that match. I don't want to see that match. It's a waste of AJ Styles. But hey, it's Vince's kid. So does it surprise me? Not really. I would not have had Roman Reigns beat Braun Strowman at the last pay-per-view. I was furious about it. I wanted Braun Strowman to win. You could do some sort of interference where The Undertaker cost Roman Reigns the match to set up the match at Mania. But you know what? I predicted all of this months ago. When I looked at this from the Vince McMahon perspective, I said, well, Roman Reigns is going to slay the first giant, Braun Strowman. Then he's going to slay the second giant, The Undertaker. And then he's going to go to slay the third giant, Brock Lesnar, and they're going to try to make him the biggest star in the business yet again. I said that. I didn't want it, but I said it because I know how Vince McMahon thinks. I mean, we saw Roman Reigns against the Big Show forever when the guy was trying to get him over as the top babyface. Because in Vince's mind, you beat a big giant and you're a good guy. And now he's having him run through every single one of the giants. I think it's going to continue tonight. I thought that they would do Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. But apparently in Vince's mind, there ain't no bigger match in the world than that one. So damn it, that's Mania next year. So I guess we got to wait a year. Another year of Roman Reigns getting pushed through everybody en route to beating Brock Lesnar in New Orleans.
You know what the crazy part is, too? In hindsight, and really you didn't need to do it then either. It didn't. Your foresight could have given you that one. But even in hindsight, Braun Strowman didn't need to lose that match to Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns and Undertaker would have nothing less on it. Now, I know somebody could pick it away and say, well, no, there's this and this and wins matter and everything. You know, in this case, nothing would have mattered. Roman wouldn't get cheered or booed any more or less. Undertaker wouldn't get cheered or booed any more or less. And Braun Strowman, you could have used a little bit more cleanliness on his record, but it's over, it's done with. But in hindsight, that never even needed to happen.
AJ Styles and Shane McMahon, it's happening.
Definitely happening.
All I can tell you about this, I don't know who's going to win. I presume it's AJ Styles. I mean, if they want to have the rest of the show hijacked, I mean, they could put Shane McMahon over. Shane was already getting booed on SmackDown. AJ is one of the most... In fact, if John Cena is leaving, AJ, who is, in theory, the top heel, is going to be the most over babyface on the entire SmackDown roster.
Oh, yeah.
All I can tell you about this is, as of last week, just a few days ago, actually, this match was scheduled to go 20 minutes. They announced on TV that it's not a no DQ match. It's not a falls count anywhere match. It is not a scaffold match. It is a wrestling match. If you end up outside the ring for too long, you'll get counted out. I mean, it's amazing to me. I can only hope that before the match begins, Shane comes out and says, I forgot to mention, AJ, you did not read the fine print of the contract. You assumed it was a wrestling match, but in fact, it's falls count anywhere in Orlando, Florida. And they brawl outside, and they brawl up an escalator, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, I'm not expecting it to be, like, a terrible match. I'm not expecting it to be a great match. And that's the whole key. Yeah, I'm sure that AJ Styles is good enough to get a good match out of AJ Styles. But you know what? When I look up and down this card right here, I could be proven wrong. I don't see, with the exception of the Neville Aries match, and really, I'm not even going to accept that one because that's on the pre-show. There's going to be nobody in the building. The traffic in Orlando is atrocious. I wouldn't be surprised if nobody got there to like 9 tonight. I just feel that nothing on this show is going to be a blowaway match. Nothing. Like, I think that Rollins and Triple H is going to be good. I think that Undertaker and Roman hopefully will be good unless Undertaker gets hurt. I think that White and Orton is going to be good. I think that Ambrose and Corbin will probably be okay. Like, I look up and down the show, there's no great match. Your best opportunity to have a great match was somebody versus AJ Styles. Shinsuke Nakamura. Do you know, everybody, that last night at TakeOver, they did Shinsuke Nakamura versus Bobby Roode, and Bobby Roode won. And when the show went off the air, they did a farewell for Shinsuke Nakamura because Shinsuke Nakamura is coming up to the main roster. He may be there Tuesday. He's going to be up at any time. They could have done Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. But instead, the boss's kid got a match, a wrestling match with AJ Styles. I know I'm going to go on Twitter and hear, Brian was wrong, it was a good match. I don't want a good match. I want a great match on this show, and I'm not going to get it.
They're going to tell you you're wrong because you're just wrong about lots of things in life, and you're not being too hard on this, and the fact that I think everybody, we all would have wanted Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. In fact, some of us, including me, opined about the fact that, hey, it won't be the Tokyo Dome show, but this is around the time of the Royal Rumble. But hey, can you imagine Shinsuke Nakamura coming back or coming in at the Royal Rumble and setting up that match, and you can have a little bit of a junior version, a WWE version of what we got on the Tokyo Dome, and how great would that be? And no, we're not going to get that. And nobody's happy about that. Nobody's happy about seeing Shane involved. I guess where everybody really, though, is just shrugging is just with hopefully nobody gets hurt, and hopefully AJ is AJ, and AJ proves his awesomeness and proves how phenomenal he really is by taking a guy that's got no reason to be in a ring, and he's got no reason to be in a ring for 20 minutes, and he's got no reason to be in a ring with a guy so skilled when it's just going to be a one bump show. I mean, that's what a Shane McMahon match is. It builds up to something crazy at the end of it, and it's a very risky proposition. I don't think anybody's really happy about it, but I don't think anybody... The only way that this becomes really bad is if AJ Styles either gets hurt or AJ AJ Styles loses this match, because there's no reason for that. With John Cena being gone, AJ Styles realistically should be the number one babyface, with the exception of Randy Orton, on that brand. I hope they go in that direction. And I do want to disagree with you a little bit as far as the best match goes. I honestly think the one you didn't name is the one we probably have the best shot of on this entire show, with the exception of the Cruiserweight match, as far as that match being taken out of it. I honestly believe that Chris Owens and Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho are in a position where they can actually steal this show. I don't know how much time they have or what the intentions on that match exactly are going to be, but I think those two, being the pros that they are, really have a chance to maybe steal this whole entire show.
I think they will have a very good match. I'm not sure they're going to have a great match. I hope they do!
They may not be put in the position to have a great match, so they may not be on them either.
I hope every match on this show is 5 stars, but I'm not expecting it. Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt for the...
Hard to get off that one, isn't it?
WWE title. Here's the thing with this match. If you put a gun to my head and you said who's going to win, I would say Randy Orton. Because I still think to this day that Randy Orton winning the WWE title at WrestleMania is his make-good for Brock Lesnar nearly killing the guy at SummerSlam, concussing him with hard elbows, and just smashing and destroying him. I think this is Randy Orton's reward for that. So I don't see him going in there tonight and losing, but I could be wrong. This is one of those matches where, you know what? I mean, unless it was promised to Randy Orton as a make-good, it doesn't matter. Whoever loses here can win at the next pay-per-view or a few pay-per-views from now. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of matches like that on the show where it really doesn't matter. Another good one would be Bayley, Charlotte, Sasha, and Nia. I mean, I would have made a huge argument in a lot of different ways a month ago. Today, I could not possibly care less who wins this match.
What a shame.
I had all sorts of booking ideas. The next Raw pay-per-view is in San Jose. That's the hometown of Bayley. I mean, there's so many things that you could do, and they didn't do any of them. They threw it all out the window so they could do a random four-way here on the show. I don't care. I mean, if you want a prediction from me right now, I'd actually predict Bayley. I'm going to tell you why. I would have predicted Charlotte, because Bayley could then win the championship back in her hometown. But the reality is, WWE doesn't do that kind of thing. They don't give people victories in their hometown. Occasionally they do. I don't want people texting and go, oh, what about blah, 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 blah. WWE is all about somebody loses in their hometown so their opponent can like get some heat or something like that. It doesn't matter in 2017. It doesn't work. It's just what they do. And really, what they do more now than ever is people are champions going into their hometown, so they can do all of the media leading to the show, and then they often lose on that show.
That's what's going to happen next time around.
I honestly think that Bayley's going to win this match. I don't know who she's going to pin, but she's probably going to win it. And then I don't think Sasha's turning tonight. I think that Sasha is probably going to turn in San Jose cost Bayley the match, and that's it.
Of course, and you know what the worst part is? She probably Bayley beats Nia tonight, and that's no shot against Nia, but Bayley should be pinning Charlotte or Sasha. I don't think she will. Maybe she beats Sasha or Charlotte, but yeah, I think Sasha ends up turning on her around the time, if not the night of the San Jose show, and there you go. And they have, I'm not saying they've ruined Bayley or anything like that, you know, that there's still a chance, but man, they have made things a lot more difficult than they should be with that division, and it doesn't make any sense when you look on the SmackDown side and you see the way that, I don't know, they have a lot less flashy talent on paper. They have a lot less push on paper than what you have on Raw, yet they seem to get their storylines across a lot better. The build to this match has stunk when it comes to Naomi and everything, but it's just a shame that they have overthought and overdone all of this stuff with the main women on Raw.
That's a different match, but we'll get into that after the break.
Oh, yeah.
At Brian Alvarez, at Semper Vivi, back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Semper Vivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Live and free every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We're on 1 million affiliates all over the world. The easiest way to listen, no matter where you are, is via TuneIn Radio. Just grab the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, Search Sports Byline USA, and you can listen to us every day. Also, if you go to WrestlingObserver.com, there is a link to Wrestling Observer Live on the right-hand side of the page. You can listen just by clicking that every day. And for show times, as noted, it's just noon Pacific, 3 Eastern every weekday. And you can also head to SportsByline.com. You can head to WrestlingObserver.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. I tweet out a link to the show to listen every single day when we go on the air. So check that out. We're going to be back for subscribers to WrestlingObserver.com later on tonight, where we shall be talking WrestleMania, myself and Dave Meltzer, as well as myself and Vinny. Two different shows tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, recapping WrestleMania. 8,000 shows in the archive, so do not miss out. Talking about this show here, running down the card, and the Seth Rollins Triple H match, there ain't a lot to say. It's been a very long build. It's WrestleMania. There is no reason Triple H should win this match. He's not a regular. I don't think they're rematching in the next pay-per-view. Maybe they are. But it's WrestleMania. The good guy should win this match. Seth Rollins had a... It's kind of... I don't know. Seth was very sick this weekend. He had like a high fever, and he was just feeling miserable. And then I go online, and there's all these photos of him hugging all these fans at Access, and I'm like, oh my God. It's going to be an epidemic here, but we'll see how he feels today. He's got to get in there and wrestle Triple H. His knee is not 100%. Match will be built around it. I hope it's good. I mean, a long, methodical, slow-paced Triple H match working over Seth Rollins' knee. Could be a long match. I guess we'll see.
Well, yeah. And, you know, Seth is not... I trust, though, with Triple H. I mean, there's a lot of things people can say about Triple H, but he can have a 20-minute methodical match where all the focus is around the knee, and he could make that thing work. And Seth Rollins is athletic enough, even being injured, and he's got a still enough behind him where they can make that work. I'm most interested in seeing what exactly is going to come from this as far as, will Samoa Joe play a part tonight? I believe that he will. And when he does, what's going to be the result of that? Will his interference backfire? Will it work for Triple H? Will it cause Finn Balor to come? I'm more interested in some ways around the intangibles of this match than I am the actual result, because to me the result is in no doubt a Seth Rollins victory. It's just a matter of how you get there and how he looks coming out of the thing. But Samoa Joe not being on the card, a lot like Luke Harper, you mentioned it earlier on, them not being on the card, to me, is a shiny light to say, if they're not in that Geek Battle Royal and they're not scheduled for anything else, they are going to have to probably be involved in the matches that take place with Triple H and Seth Rollins, as well as Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
I think Harper is for sure going to be in the Orton match. And who knows, the Vintner, Eric Rowan, is cleared for action. Maybe he'll be involved as well.
That's the other thing. They have set it up in a way where, you know, the trance, you know, can still work. I know Randy, you know, laid the Crucix or whatever they call that nonsense thing, the Crucix.
The Crucix.
But it doesn't matter. You know, the Wyatt family can be stronger than that, so I wouldn't be surprised if both sheet masks make a return this evening.
Well, I think what could happen is, I mean, there's a very easy storyline based on what they've been doing, which is ref takes a bump, lights go out, lights come back on, there's Luke Harper and the Vintner standing next to Bray Wyatt. He has used his powers to bring them back to his side. They all stare down Randy Orton, and then, of course, he has no powers anymore. We learned that. And so the Vintner and Luke Harper turn on Bray, stomp a mud hole in him, RKO, ref wakes up, 1, 2, 3. They could very easily do something like that. And yes, I think that Samoa Joe is getting involved in the Triple H match. And who knows? Maybe they're going to do a one-year build of Triple H Samoa Joe. Wouldn't be surprised to see that. Maybe Rollins will feud with Joe after Joe tries to interfere and it fails. There's a lot of ways they can go long-term with this one. You start out with Joe trying to help, but it fails. And then he feuds with Seth for a while. Something else fails. Then Hunter turns on Joe or vice versa. You can do all sorts of things. You could do Joe versus Kevin Owens in there, since they're kind of Triple H's heavies, literally and figuratively. Which leads us to Jericho Owens. It should be a good match. They built it up for a long time. Maybe a very good match. I think that Kevin Owens is getting a make good for putting over Goldberg in a minute at the last pay-per-view. Jericho's around for a while, but he will be leaving. I mean, this is another match where they could have Jericho win, and then Owens beats him at the Raw pay-per-view in San Jose. They could do that. A lot of different opportunities here. But I do think, if you put a gun to my head, that the winner of this match will be Kevin Owens, and he will be the new U.S. champion.
Yeah, that's the one that makes the most sense to me. You know, that to have the guy with the belt standing next to Triple H on Raw on Monday night with Samoa Joe, if that's how they're going to continue to play that story with the unit of them kind of running the show or whatever it is. But I, again, this is the one that I think is going to, that's the one I think is going to steal the show. I really do. And I don't see a reason for Chris Jericho to win. I know we said that last year when it came to AJ Styles, but you could at least look at that as a, well, Chris is our guy and AJ is still in New Japan. Whatever ridiculous kind of mentality that you want to try to wrap around that and make the excuse for, whatever it is. This time around, I don't think you really have one. Chris Jericho is not the full-time guy. Kevin Owens is the one of the most important pieces of that TV show. The U.S. title, while it has not been put on a pedestal or anything like that, it is still in far better position than, let's say, oh, I don't know, a forklift-induced Intercontinental title is right now. So there's some support for that. So Kevin Owens winning this thing, again, I don't, with the exception of, okay, so you're setting WrestleMania up as the show for afterwards. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the only reason you would go ahead and make that move, and I think it's a poor one to do. He should win the title at WrestleMania.
All right, we got to keep moving. We got four more matches. There are 13 matches on this show. John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse. As I talked about at the open of the show, I expect Cena and Nikki to win, but the reality of the situation is they're leaving. They're leaving, and if they do a proposal at the end of this match, which I would be stunned if they did not do this based on the way they've built it up. There's no reason Miz and Maryse can't win this match. But I don't think they're going to, because it's WrestleMania. It's a fairy tale. The good guys got to beat the bad guys. Then the good guy robot proposes to his good girl robot. And they zoom away into the sunset to get married. I presume that's going to happen. The one thing is, I know, listen, I praise the build to high heaven, but I'm also a realist. Maryse has not wrestled in 7 years. Nikki Bella's neck is messed up. I mean, I don't know if she's retiring here or not, but one way or the other, she's taken time off because her neck is screwed up. I mean, John Cena and The Miz, I mean, they either carry the entire match or this could be an ugly match. So we'll see what happens.
I don't think there's any way they script this thing, and because I do mean script, that it ends up being ugly in any way. I think they're not going to let them be exposed like that. And I think you're right. Miz and Maryse could win, and I think you do the disappointed thing, but then John pulls out the ring. You could do that, but it's just like you said, it's not fairy tale enough. Just have the heroes go out on top. They leave. He pulls her arm back. He opens it up, drops to a knee. There you go. Everybody's happy. They end up on the Today Show tomorrow, and boom, you're off to the races.
Big question is, do they do the old double submission with the baby faces, or does Nikki tap out The Miz?
Oh, no, Miz. Oh, now that's one he doesn't need.
He doesn't need it. But you know what? She tapped out Tyler Breeze. They don't do these things just for the hell of it. We have Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin. This is for the Intercontinental title. This has got the most horrendous build of any match I've ever seen in my life, I think. I do expect that Dean Ambrose is going to lose the title to Baron Corbin. I don't know what you do with Dean Ambrose. I mean, Dean Ambrose was so hot, and then it's like the weirdest thing. They gave him that world title, and he just, and it was him! It wasn't the reaction. It was him! He won that title, and he just stopped doing everything. His matches just went all to hell. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. He had the Stone Cold podcast, which was a disaster. They took the title off of him, and he's been swimming in quicksand ever since.
Hey, never tell Vince McMahon that you have, you know, Vince lets you do whatever you want now. You know, he lets you do all the problems. I didn't hate that appearance on Steve Austin as much as a lot of people did, but it is hard to not say
that's
that
him.
But that's the thing, is it's hard to not say he didn't take a whole lot of L's, you know, coming out of that thing. And it, this feud has been terrible. Baron Corbin, all of the push is behind him. For whatever anybody out there listening thinks about Corbin or his promo style or his moves or anything, it doesn't matter. They really like him, and they don't really much care for Dean right now as far as being an important character. So it's hard to not think that Baron Corbin isn't going to at least get a chance to try to shine on SmackDown.
I got two matches to talk about. I'm going to tie them together. It's Gallows and Anderson versus Enzo and Cass versus Cesaro and Sheamus. And it is also, and that's a ladder match, by the way, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Mickie James, Carmella, and Naomi in a six-pack challenge for the women's title. Very quickly, the Hardys are free agents right now. The Hardys did their farewell at Ring of Honor last night after losing the titles in a ladder match to the Young Bucks. I don't know if they're going to be here tonight, but there's no reason for them to add a ladder stipulation to that three-way tag match if it were not for the fact that maybe the Hardys are going to do some sort of appearance here tonight. I think there is a decent chance they will be there. I'm not saying they're going to be there. I don't know if they're going to be there, but I think it's WrestleMania, and it's about moments, and that would be quite a moment if the Broken Hardys showed up in that ladder match. Now, the other thing is I do expect that Naomi is going to win the title back in the six-pack challenge. But interestingly enough, over the last 48 hours, there was movement towards, of all people, Carmella in that six-pack challenge. And you know what? I thought about it, and everybody was going, why in the world would you even for one moment consider Carmella winning that title? Like I said earlier, WrestleMania is about moments. And if they open the show with the ladder match and Enzo and Cass win and the Hardys show up or whatever, but my point is, if Enzo and Cass win the titles and then later Carmella wins the title, you can have that WrestleMania moment backstage where Enzo, Cass, and Carmella all run into each other and they're all champions. They all had their opportunity down in Orlando when they were in NXT. They never won the titles. Now Orlando is hosting WrestleMania. They could all win those championships. It's Hunter's baby. It's Orlando. I could very easily see this building up to that moment where all of them are backstage with their belts and everybody's happy.
I hope Ellsworth challenges Big Cass for daring to go to the Hall of Fame with his woman, or I should say his girl that's also a friend, which leads to a long feud between Enzo Amore and James Ellsworth that Brian Alvarez can probably burst into tears over.
I can't even imagine. That's the show, everybody. And for the last minute here, before we go to the break, I just want to mention that last night's NXT was a very, very good show. We had the end of Shinsuke Nakamura in the company after he lost to Bobby Roode. He's almost certainly heading up to the main roster at any time. We had the debut of Drew McIntyre, who has signed with WWE to get him away from ITV in the UK. Ember Moon and Asuka. Asuka won that, so I don't think you're going to see Asuka on the main roster anytime soon. DIY lost the three-way. I think they're going to be on the main roster very, very soon. The Revival. Did I say DIY? Revival, I expect to be called up very soon. And on the ROH show, another good show. Chris Daniels retained the title over Dalton Castle. Hardys lost the tag titles to the Young Bucks in a ladder match and then did a farewell. So as noted, they're going to be heading to WWE anytime soon. Two great shows last night. And also a good bull rope match with Jay Lethal and Cody. And we can talk about more of this after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you're not a subscriber and you're only listening to Wrestling Observer Live, which airs free every day, hey, we'll be here tomorrow at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, talking all the fallout from WrestleMania, myself and Mike. If you are a subscriber, it's your lucky day. Lots of stuff. Dave and I have done shows every single night since Thursday for subscribers. It's about 6 hours of audio. You can head up there and check out amongst all of our different shows. And there's certainly more to come. Brian and Vinny's show tonight. Wrestling Observer Radio tonight. all of these shows recapping the biggest show of the year, WrestleMania. You can follow my coverage on Twitter all night tonight at Brian Alvarez. Mike will be at Semper Vivi. We will have live play-by-play on the front page from Dave Meltzer. If you head to WrestlingObserver.com, you can check it out. And if you love the show, I really suggest you sign up for WrestlingObserver.com. Get all of the members-only content. The new Observer that comes out on Wednesday, 35 to 40,000 words on all the shows WrestleMania weekend. The biggest WrestleMania coverage you will get anywhere on the planet, guaranteed. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But I'm pretty sure that you are going to enjoy your subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. We are totally out of time here. We're going to wrap it up here for today. Don't forget, every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Over 500 affiliates on the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody at the American Forces Network. I want to thank everybody at Sports Byline USA, callers, listeners, Mike, as always. We will talk to you again tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.